What's up? This is Chris from Hard Look, hanging out with my boy Johnny, and you're listening to the Johnny Tacos Podcast.
All right, welcome to Taco Talk. I'm Johnny Tacos, and we are here with a special guest, Evelyn Lighty. And when you listen to her story of living with a functional alcoholic and a mother who tried to hide herself with trying to be a religious person, but not feeling the love that God had meant for to take care of her and her brothers. So you see her when she started to become that she feared, which was an alcoholic, to the triumph of her going through a Christian-based 12-step program to being a child of God and loving her spirituality and her walk with God. So here we go. What's up, Taco Nation? This is your man, Johnny Tacos. We have shirts now. It comes in all different shapes and sizes. We have white, we have black, with the Origin Story logo, the Taco Talk logo, and the original Johnny Tacos podcast logo. So what is better to show support of the show than buy one of these shirts here? And where can you buy one of these shirts? You can buy it on Twisted Glitter on the Facebook. I want to give a shout out and thank you for making these high quality shirts. And if you would like to ask for it directly, you can come to the Johnny Tacos podcast at gmail.com. That's Johnny Tacos Podcast at gmail.com. Stay classy, San Diego. All right, we have our guest here, Evelyn Lighty. She is a author of the book, Just Fine, Thank You, Growing Up with Family Secrets. And I know that we all struggle with our family sins, our generational sins, and this book here explains a lot. And, you know, who better to explain it than the writer herself? So let's all listen and enjoy and feel a freedom of what you're not the only one that had to live through whatever you're living. God does a reason for writers just like my guest when they write their books is to help other people during their times of uncertainty. And a lot of people go through it. And I can actually say that, you know, I have somewhat of a story just like hers. So here we go. Hey, Evelyn.
Hey, Johnny.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Thank you.
That's awesome. It is very hot over here in Texas. We've been hitting 100 for at least 6 weeks now. Everything was always over 100 during the day. And boy, my plants are really, really taking a beating.
It's 100 degrees here today also.
Oh, where are you at?
I'm in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Oh, in South Dakota?
They got heat there? Air is filled with smoke from fires in California and Wyoming.
Yeah, it's amazing how other states can have a catastrophe just like that, and you feel what happened. I remember they had a huge tornado in Oklahoma maybe about 15 years ago, and the dust particles from that Oklahoma tornado went all the way to Dallas.
Yeah, I believe that.
So it's just amazing what nature does outside. And you can't fathom how things, you know, fish fell out of the air because they were eggs at one time, and they flourished to fish and fall from the water droplets. I've seen it happen. So it's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yes, it's just amazing what God did in 7 days, in seven God days, six yep. God days, the yep. seventh He rested. So tell us a little something about you. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I grew up in a very dysfunctional home, although I have come to realize that it wasn't the worst thing in the world. I did have a family that loved me. I had an alcoholic father and a very codependent mother, and we were very religious, not spiritual, but religious. We went to church a couple times a week, and we actually went to a hellfire brimstone church. And my father believed in a punishing God. So I grew up rebelling mostly against God and being very angry at him almost my whole life. Because I never felt like, I resented his power, and I was always in a power struggle with him. So my books, and this is a series, Just Mind Thank You is the first of a series, is all about my power struggle with God, my power struggle with alcohol. I mean, I was rebellious and very much determined that I was going to change my life and a lot of other people's. I wasn't on the right track at that time, but I am now.
You know, and this book is like your life up until 13, right? Age 13?
Correct.
So living that life, what I've read about, that your father was a functioning alcoholic, and yes. your mother was a very devoted Christian that believed in just holding on to the Bible and thinking that everything will fix itself. Is that's sort of similar, like a little summary of your parents?
That pretty much says it all.
And when you went through this, because you know, people that they're religious, but they're not spiritual, tend to get lost in that whole religious aspect where you have to do this, the rules, the laws, the bad, you know, the more stern parts of religion, but they forget the love part.
Yes.
So growing up, you said this was a series, so I have the first book here, and I need to get the second book. Just to say, you know, I've lived that life with functioning alcoholics, and as a child, it does put a lot of stress on your life because you feel like you have to grow up quick. You have to learn to take care of yourself. Is that yeah. was that was what you're trying to get to?
When I was a child, I must have been about 7 years old when I decided no one was in charge. I live in this crazy household, no one's in charge. My mother was busy having children, and she had one every 18 months. My father was a very hard worker, but he was also a very hard drinker. And so it seemed like, as the only girl in a family of five boys, eventually six, I was the one who had to be responsible. And that started about 7 years old. I remember one time we had been told, my father was very full of fear. As I said, he feared God. He was so full of fear, he was always telling us, don't do this and don't do that and stay out of here and stay out of there, which a good parent will do. But what happened was we all went out in the field and started sliding down a straw stack. Uh-huh. And it was a fresh pile of straw. And that is dangerous. People die on straw stacks because the straw will cover you up and you get suffocated.
Uh-huh.
So we thought we were, nobody knew what we were doing, and we trekked to the house. I'm seven. My brothers are like five, six, and four. And we trekked to the house, and my mother said to my dad when he got home, these kids were on the straw stack. And my dad whipped off his belt and lined the boys up. He never hit a girl. Lined the boys up against the wall and was going to give them a beating. And I stepped in front of him and took the belt away from him. And he just kind of shook his head in shame and walked away. It was at that point I decided I'm the only sane person in this house. And my life progressed from there.
So when you mean progress, what do you mean progress? It made you stronger, or is it progressing for the good?
It made me more determined to protect my brothers. They're all littler than me. And it made me more determined. Well, here's another story that's in the book. When I was a little girl, my dad told me, if you fight with your brothers, God will come and take one of them away. And there was a reason for that. I didn't know what it was at the time, but I later found out that he had just lost his brother. But we, in our family, nobody ever talked about anything, so I had no clue that his brother had just been killed. So my mission was to protect my brothers from God. So I became a very controlling, tyrant child. And my mission is to help people understand that children who are controlling and tyrant-like have something behind them that they need to talk about.
And that right there is a statement that people tend to forget. They just see the actions, but they don't see the root of the actions. Just as like a bully at school, you don't see the roots of why the bully does what he or she does, and until it's too late. And unfortunately, a lot of bullies are the ones being bullied either by their siblings or even their parents. So
right.
So living in that household, and you thinking that you're the one who is the sane one out of the madhouse, that you're the sane one. So you started taking up more of a leadership role, but you were still pushed away from religion, right?
Well, we're talking religion. We're talking laws and rules. And I believed my father, if you fight with your brothers, God will come and take one of them away. And maybe 2 years after he said that, one of my little brothers did die. And that just reinforced that message that I needed to protect them from God.
So you had, when you were at a younger age, you kind of like was waging war against God.
Oh, I threatened and shook my fist, and I didn't cuss because that was not right. That was not a ladylike thing to do.
Yeah.
But I did talk to him a lot.
So what do you think had happened to change your ways from going and cursing and being upset and waving your hand and your fist in the air. And you said, you're not going to take my other brothers and all that from God, to actually finding the spirituality, rest, and peace.
Well, my second book that follows this talks about my teenage years and the trouble I had. I also got into alcohol. It killed my pain a lot. My third book talks about being married to a very abusive husband, and who was an alcoholic, even worse than my father. However, I found a 12-step program that actually taught me about the love of God. And when I started to realize that God wasn't the monster that I had always thought he was, and started to learn about the love of God, I could look at my life and see how many times he had interceded for me and how many times he had helped me. And there are times when I was in precarious danger and miraculously I got out of it, but I wasn't giving God credit for it at the time.
You know, many people, that the hindsight's always 20/20. And when you're thinking and you're in that one mind state where you're thinking this way and this way is the way it's got to be, you tend to overlook the small miracles that God did. And I lived that life, having alcoholic parents to myself, being an alcoholic in my younger years. And it got to a point where God was just keep on getting louder and louder and louder, trying to show me that, you know, it's, you can be mad at it, but I still love you and I'm still going to protect you like a father does to a child. But did you ever reconciled with, your parents?
Yes. I didn't really reconcile with my father while he was alive, but as I was writing the third book in this series, I realized that he was a very sick man. He did his best, and it was actually easier for me to forgive him than to forgive my mother, because she was sober, and I saw her as the one who was supposed to be responsible. Because I grew up at a time when women stayed home and they took care of things at home. And my mother did that. My mother was really a very devout, busy, busy woman. And so forgiving her was harder than forgiving my alcoholic father, because he was fun. My mother wasn't fun.
Yeah, I've seen, people that are so stressed and so wanting to be busybody, and that they tend to neglect the fun times, the crucial times in a child's life as a parent, that they need that encouragement, that fun, but they're too busy preoccupying themselves with what they have to do, what they need to do, and not what they need to do for everybody else, you know, for their children. So, and I lived that life. I lived in a very toxic family. I never knew my real dad, but my stepfather that kind of raised me as his own, he was a very big alcoholic, and he died being an alcoholic. And I had my runs with God, where I was so upset and I started yelling. But then I feel bad now. I felt bad because, you know, like you said, you started seeing the small aspects in life where he had protected you, and where he had saved you, and where he had embraced you when you thought nobody was there. So I started feeling bad, and it just came to a point where I have to work for what God wants me to do and quit just fighting myself and quit saying me, 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 me when it should be him, him, him. So you have children of your own?
I do. I have three.
You have three children? And
three children and two stepchildren and 14 grandchildren and six great-grandchildren.
Wow. Boy, you are a busybody.
Yeah. Yep, I love it.
So you broke that generational sin, did you? Did you treat your children and your grandchildren differently than what you were taught as a young one?
I tried. When my children were younger, my first two children were younger, their father was the abusive alcoholic. And I am sorry to say I couldn't protect them very well. My third child never, ever saw me drink or be drunk. However, he did get the brunt of some of my anger because I hadn't reconciled with God at this point. Now, I have a really close relationship with them. They all live fairly close by. They've all forgiven me for my bad behavior, and we have a wonderful time.
So did it took time for forgiveness, right? Or was it pretty much instantaneously after you sought out the 12 steps?
No, it took time.
But anything that takes time is just a stronger bond than mm-hmm. trying to go fast. Because I've seen both where they went too fast and it burned out so quick because they didn't have time to deal with the problems that brought the division together. So,
well, God really blessed me. He put me in touch with some really great people. And one of the greats was a woman named Virginia Satir, and she was the kind of the inventor of family systems therapy. And I was lucky enough to study with her. And I studied with her about how to deal with dysfunctional families. So I was constantly learning things from really great people. Father Martin's another really great person who was a pioneer in alcoholism in the family. Up until these two people didn't even realize alcohol was a problem for the family. They knew it was for the alcoholic, but they didn't realize that the family was suffering up until these people were pioneering and saying, wait a minute, there's a family here that's really suffering. So that I was, so God bless me so much that I got to study with them and I got to learn with them.
Yeah, because people really focus on the alcoholic themselves, how to take care of them, how to make them, and then it becomes codependency. And unfortunately, I was very codependent because I lived in an alcoholic household where everybody drank and everybody did drugs. And it was to a point where I had to bend over backwards just to try to make people not leave because I was so used to all the issues that happened with in an alcoholic family, which I fell into alcoholism because of depression that I was after my ex-wife and when she took my daughter away. Mm-hmm. So, but now you go around and you have these books, these wonderful books coming out, and you're telling a story. Do you go out and do some lessons? Do you go out and speak on yes. behalf of your books?
I like to speak. I do workshops. I've done you know, I've been in practice for 35 years and I've probably done 1,000 workshops on the family and how the families are affected. Thanks to Virginia Satir, who taught me everything that I learned back then. I work with kids. I mostly work with teens in like 17 and 18 because younger kids need a specialized counselor, and I am not that.
Uh-huh.
I can work with their parents and help them to understand what's going on.
So helping out the teens, have that gave you even more of a brighter future, that you see the future so much better now that you're able to help people who are going through similarities to what's in your book, that you can help them out?
It's been my mission in life since I sobered up to help children. And I realized the best way I could help children would be to help their parents, because parents need information and education. We didn't have information and education on even what alcoholism was when I was growing up.
Yeah.
It was just not available.
Well, they have, it came a long way from back in. And when I was a kid too, there wasn't a huge upbringing for Alcoholics Anonymous. I think they just started up a couple of years after I was born. But it was still there was still not a lot of information out there on how to sober up, but also how to show your family that, hey, I'm sorry, and ask for their forgiveness. And which was at 10 steps, or 12 steps, sorry, the 12 steps. And do you still live by those 12 steps? Do you ever have any speed bumps along the way?
I am 42 years sober. I still go to meetings on a regular basis. I do have speed bumps along the way. I mean, alcoholism is a powerful, powerful disease, and we're learning more about it all the time. It's not just a habit, like some people say. It actually is connected to the brain, and for some of us, it's a terrific allergy. I wouldn't say that's true of everybody, but for many, many people, it is true.
And, you know, it does mess with the chemicals inside your brain. So you're dealing with a whole slew of changing the pH balances of your body. And you can go into all the scientific things about alcohol and prolonged exposure to alcohol and how long it, because there's actually people that will, If they stop cold turkey, as my father, if they stop cold turkey, they start to get really sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to slow down because he had gotten AIDS, and he had gotten cancer too, lung cancer. So he had to quit drinking, and he had to slowly wind it down because he had tried it one time, and he was in the hospital intensive care unit because his body was shut down because he had drank so much alcohol in his life that it was like a processing, a need for his body to have. But people don't understand that. People think, well, you can just quit drinking cold turkey and nothing. Only God, if God had made it to and where you thirst no more for alcohol, then that would be a different subject. But people that are just trying to get off cold turkey, 9 times out of 10, it ups the ante where they drink more. So, but,
yes.
But we are getting closer to the end of the show. Is there anything you would like to talk to my, say to my listeners, give them some kind of, your knowledge, about their life, if they're going through the same things that you had as a child, or they're themselves an alcoholic with a family?
I would like to tell them that there is hope, that hang on to God. Even though I was screaming at him and shaking my fist at him, he never let go of me. So at least I was in contact with him. It wasn't great, but I was in contact with him. Hang on to God, say prayers, know that you are a human being and that you desperately need him. Know that there is help and there is hope. And go to my website, www.evelynlighty.com. There's lots of resources on there. I would love to come and speak to any of your groups. I would love to share my knowledge. And that is my main mission now at this age, is to share what I know.
Amen. Amen to that. I want to thank you for coming on the show and giving this information to other people, and to, you know, let people know that they're not alone in their struggles, that everybody has had their own struggles with alcoholism. And I am so proud of you. 42 years sober. That right there is a honor. It's awesome to know you for doing that. And what I want to thank is, you know, I'll have your link put down at the bottom of my show. They'll have your website and where you can get to get your books. The first book out of their series, you have to get the first book and then graduate up to the teenage years and then to the adult years. It is Just Fine, Thank You, Growing Up with Family Secrets. And this has been a tremendous book. I'm actually going to give this to a friend of mine that is a recovering alcoholic. He's been wanting to read up and to learn more about it, because I was telling him about it. So,
Johnny, I'm just about finished with another book in the series.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully it'll be out around December. And this is actually my meetup with God, my sobriety years.
Oh, you know what? I would love to have you back on the show so we could talk about that.
Okay.
You know, I'll set it up with my assistant and make sure that we can get that going, because I would love to talk more about your walk with God and sobriety.
Okay.
So, but thank you, Evelyn, for coming on the show. And I want to thank all my listeners, the new ones that came in thinking that the Johnny Taco Show is a cooking show. I hate to disappoint, but the only food I serve up is the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the love he has given through the everlasting waters from the well. I want to thank you for coming on here. You did not come on here by mistake. God has sent you here to hear testimonies such as my guest today. I want to thank all my diehard listeners that listen to me all the time. And I appreciate you are the sour cream on the supreme taco. You are the ones that keep this crazy podcast going and going strong. I want to pray y'all out here. You mind if I pray for you, Evelyn?
I would like that. Thank you.
Awesome. Lord, thank you so much for having Evelyn on my show today. I pray that 42 becomes another 42 of sobriety. I pray that her hunger for you and your love overshadows any temptation that might come. Lord, I want to pray for her family to keep that strength going, to keep that love of yours shining bright upon them. Lord, I also want to bless my listeners. I know that some of y'all are going through alcoholism. I know some of y'all are living with alcoholics. But the Lord Lord, please bless them and know that they are your children, and to please hold them tight and protect them, because they are so beautiful. Their souls are so beautiful, and they want to shed an instant that just pleases you, Lord. In your name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, thanks again, Evelyn, Lighty, for being on the show. It's an honor to meet you. I can't wait to read your other books, and I can't wait for that new book to hit and you come back on the show.
Thanks, Johnny.
And I want to just reach out to Covenant Life Church. They are my sponsor for this month. If you need a church and you're in Waxahachie, Texas, please feel free to come by 423 North College Street in Waxahachie, Texas. And if for some reason, if you have an illness or, you know, you're kind of shy and you just would like to watch them on TV, they are on live. It's covenantlife.online. With that going, I hope you all have a blessed day. God bless you and keep you. Don't have a good day. Have yourself a great day and drink some of that tea and get out of that heat. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Tacos de canasta, tacos!
You, my friends, now. We're having soft tacos later.
This is the Johnny Taco Show.